Ninth Letter, the award-winning literary journal published at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, is a collaborative production of Illinois' MFA in Creative Writing program and the School of Art and Design. Creative Writing grad students and faculty serve as the publication's editorial staff, and Art and Design students and faculty design and produce each issue. The results of this artistic collaboration have made Ninth Letter a distinctive and widely recognized print presence. We publish excellent fiction, poetry, essays, works in translation, and many texts that defy categorization, and we do so in an ever-changing format that strives to create, in every issue, a unique literary experience for our readers. I'm Jody Stanley, editor of Ninth Letter, and for this podcast I spoke with creative writing professor Philip Graham and graphic design professor Jonathan Crone, and visited Professor Jimmy Liu's Ninth Letter production class for a behind-the-scenes look at the writing and design collaboration that makes Ninth Letter unique. I met with visiting graphic design professor Jonathan Crone at a campus coffee shop to talk about the design process for Ninth Letter. John served as art director for our spring 2009 issue, which meant that he taught the graphic design class that, over the course of a semester, designed and produced that issue of the journal. Students must apply and are admitted to the Ninth Letter class by instructor approval. It's a popular course in the design program, and because it's taught by a rotating staff of design faculty, is run a bit differently each semester.
You know, naturally, I had been given the material previous. I went over it, read it, you know, took it in, and basically just started the class off as if I was designing how I designed publications previously in my other life. But again, at such a smaller scale, it was just a team of three.
Right.
Right? So now you're dealing with 15, so you had to kind of, I had to segment it out and group it like that. So that kind of just followed that process of how I went about designing a publication.
I've always been curious as to sort of the first responses that the students give when you meet with them.
Right.
After you've read the work, you give them the work, and then you guys meet and talk about it
right
before we come over there.
So, I mean, again, because it's a application-based program class, you have very enthusiastic students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have kids that want to be there, put in the extra hours, but you know, they want to get involved with this work. So that's the advantage right there, is you have students that are going to really get into the article and then try to pair the image, if you will, with the prose. And that initial thing is just printouts. I print out all the pieces, and we, as a class, individually, we all read them. But then we went over every single piece, and started just roundtable discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? What's going on? Who are these people? Do you understand what the content is? I also had them do whatever research they could just on the author themselves, what they could find. You know, what other work is out there, kind of like that? Who else is writing in this style? You know, it wasn't that involved. We didn't get too in-depth with that, but I wanted them to kind of take it as, holistically as possible,
mm-hmm.
as wide as possible, so they could really get into each and every piece. Because, I mean, that's what graphic design is you get the content from somebody, someone has a direction or possibly an idea most of the time. If you're fortunate enough to have, you know, do what you can, do your magic thing happen, which is amazing, then, you know, you have those opportunities to really come up with the stuff. So it's a great learning experience for them just to, read content and then try to design for that content. And especially when it's fiction and nonfiction work, where it can be very, very open, kind of boundless in scope of how you can design. So we spend almost close to a month. I mean, you know, maybe, because we only meet twice a week. You know, I want to say like four solid class periods of just dissecting each story. And my whole goal with the issue was to become, to really try to analyze how images could be paired with the prose, and if you could almost, what I told the students, if you didn't read the piece, which no one would do, but you would possibly really be able to take what is happening just through the image representation. That's why I kind of doubled the size of the book, and I I focus very much on these kind of visual narratives, mm-hmm. if you will. So that was another thing, is I started the class off by saying that's kind of how this book is going to look. We're going to produce a ton of images. So when we were doing these roundtable discussions and kind of going over the pieces and trying to figure them out and all that, we were on the walls gathering and plastering just images that we felt matched up almost line for line. I had them originally do paragraphs and just kind of pick an image per line and match this image up and try to evoke a mood or a feel. And then we distilled it down to the piece, but we dissected it that intensely, where we went paragraph by paragraph. If you could just get one representational image per paragraph. It was very challenging because, you know, there are paragraphs that
don't have any,
images, but right. That was the point. It was just really trying to get them to kind of like say, well, if I had to get a mood for this or this arc of the story or whatever, how can I lead up to that? How can I then decrease or slow down and peaks and valleys? So the room was just covered with, you know, found images, created images, all that. And that's how I did it. And there is a very intensive study as much as we can to kind of take in the work.
This past fall, assistant editor Max Summers and I attended a session of Professor Jimmy Liu's ninth letter design class, which was working on the production of our fall-winter 2010-11 issue. In this class meeting, Jimmy and the students presented to us their design concepts for the issue and discussed the process by which they came up with the images, the insert ideas, and the overall design direction they were taking for the book as a whole package.
So we started the semester by talking about, you know, black and white as an aesthetic, and then they brought in a bunch of black and white things, and we talked about, you know, why things were black and white and how that's not, how that could be seen as a positive thing and not just like, you know, it's cheap if it's in black and white. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of that kind of stuff back there. We looked at a lot of old black and white movies and kind of tried to figure out what an aesthetic of black and white could be. And then they read the stories, and you guys came over. And then this time, we really focused on making supplements. So there aren't any one thing that kind of directly illustrates a story. And how they worked was they kind of, a couple of different themes emerged as they got in more of the stories. And so we talked about what kinds of themes. Altars was one of the themes, and dead things and dying and passing away and remembering. The idea of soot was one of the themes. Lineages was another theme. And back seats and cars and things like that was another theme. And identities and, yeah, different identities, whether it's cultural or within your own self. Mm-hmm. So those were the kinds of themes that we were working from. And based on those themes, they sort of developed these projects and supplements that could sit by themselves, but when sort of packaged with the rest of the stories, sort of, you know, really truly supplemented the story, so brought something new to those ideas that were already there. So maybe we'll start talking about some of the work that came out of those themes. We'll just kind of go maybe left to right, and then we'll go to cars and back seats.
Okay, so initially when we got this project for car seats, we kind of automatically identified it with the story Batmobile, but as it went along, we tried to back away from that. But we started to figure out what the significance of the backseat was to a high school teenager, starting with the Batmobile story, and then we went through several strategies of how to convey like the average or the general human personality and connection to their car. And we began to look at like the human skin parallel to the skin of the car in the backseat. And then we took a scientific approach and explore the human skin diagrams, as you can see here. And we connected each layer of separation to a layer of a characteristic of a person who owned the car.
Right. So each of the diagrams here, the top layer is always referring to the specific car, this right here. So this car has a personality, and that usually correlates with whoever's driving it. So this one we have third trimester, sporty spice, and entitlement. So you might be able to, from these kind of ambiguous terms, assume who might drive that car, and it's a Kia Sorento. And all of these pair up with here in trying to match pictures we found kind of had that quality of skin almost, where it remains quite ambiguous here, and the lines flow through each spread of the labels, and it's not until about the third spread that you even know that we're talking about cars yet. And you just get a tiny hint of it here, and then it becomes more and more apparent, so you kind of have that aha moment.
Next we have mazes.
Will and I were working on this maze, which kind of references Amnesiac the Maze most strongly, but also like Ghost 7 and Batmobile. Just in like, it's called a fractal maze, which means like the same maze is inside of itself. So it's like you're kind of getting lost on the page, but also within like yourself, kind of. So it's really conceptual, and we went through a lot of edits with the instructions and trying to make it solvable as well.
Oh, that's really great.
Yeah,
I like
and it's
that.
It's going to be like a fold-out
interactive.
Poster.
So these are going to be the end pages, like when you open up the inside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That image will be split in half.
Wow.
So our group, one of the stories that really struck us was Day of the Dead and the idea of altars. And so we thought, because the idea of like paying tribute or having an intimate reference to something that you hold dear is something that can be found throughout all the stories and as the all the ideas as a whole. So we decided to make, or our group was going to make little altars that referenced themes throughout the book, themes that are personal to us, and also anything that we felt also referenced the other groups, like Soot or Maze. And the idea is that when the readers look at this, they will not only be able to find certain ones that reference certain stories, but also maybe find something that pertains to them personally in an intimate level.
Can you talk about how we constructed that? Yeah, so like these are many little shrines, altars that we made. The materials we chose to use are like personal stuff that we keep. And we also went to the thrift store and like found objects, little weird objects that people keep. So like
the idea of like collections.
Mm-hmm. The idea of collection is important. Also, we kept in mind like multiple themes of the stories when we were making them, and then we also did research on cultural, like how different cultures make altars, and we kept that in mind when we were making as well. So when you look at these, you'll be able to maybe find little objects that can connect you to like a theme in the story.
And we also, the styling of them was also what part of our research. We looked at different cultures and how they create items that they.
Professor Philip Graham was one of the founding editors of Ninth Letter and has served as fiction editor for a majority of the journal's issues. He and I, along with other editorial staff members, meet with the Ninth Letter design class at the beginning of each semester to discuss the contents of the issue going into production.
One of my favorite things about the magazine is going there and hearing their take on the stories and our exchange with them. It's like really nothing I've ever experienced before. It's a really interesting intellectual and creative exchange. For me, the art is exciting because it isn't an illustration. It's not. It's an actual collaboration with the writer through the writer's words as to what possible world those words could
mm-hmm.
create.
The students they're trained artists, so they understand instinctively that art is not clear-cut. Art is
by definition, open to interpretation by the reader or the audience.
Yeah.
So I think they understand that when we tell them
yes.
to look at these pieces as art.
You can translate what they know about art into literature as
right.
well. It's almost as if they're not quite sure if the same rules apply
right.
in some sense in relation to interpretation.
And once you tell them that, then they're
like, oh great,
they're yeah. they have really interesting readings. And
yes,
and they what they don't have, which I think is a plus for us, is they don't have the language that we use
yeah,
to talk about stories. So we tend to start talking in writer speak
yes.
about how stories are put together.
Narrative technique, patterns of imagery, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
And they don't have those words to use as crutches.
Yeah.
So
yes, because they can be used as crutches. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it always makes for some really interesting conversations.
Wonderful ones. And the meetings go on like hours. And they never seem like that. They
no.
Oh my God, 2.5 hours have passed. How did that happen? Because we're just having a blast.
We're having a good time. And it's always a nice point for us to revisit pieces that we talked about and accepted
mm-hmm.
months ago and maybe have lost track of in
yeah.
moving on. The editorial
yeah.
process has moved on for us, and they're just now returning to those pieces.
You remind me. Sometimes, every once in a while, I think we get this at least once a meeting with the artists, that they kind of look at us and they go, we don't understand why you accepted this
yes.
story.
At least there's one
yeah.
piece in every issue.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you like this,
yeah.
you know? And then we're kind of on the dock. We have to explain to them what we think is terrific about
mm-hmm.
it, you know, and try to make, maybe because they don't have the language we have in terms of looking at a piece, to try to make them see it through our eyes, and then from that be able to then see it through their own interpretation.
Right.
So, you know, it always changes up. There's always something tricky that happens in these meetings
mm-hmm.
that I think is just a lot of fun. I have so much fun. And I think they do too. I think they like us coming in and jabbering away.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think it helps them sort of solidify whatever amorphous at that point direction they are thinking
mm-hmm.
in terms of either a particular piece or as
yeah.
the issue as a whole. At that point, because this always happens early in the semester, they've just read all of the stories. They're just starting to think about
yeah.
the project. And so we come in and talk to them, and it gives them a chance to articulate what they're thinking.
Yes.
And to sort of hone it a little bit so
yeah.
they can move forward.
In a way, we're almost there because we're there to give them permission to run with their own intuition
mm-hmm.
in a sense, you know, especially when we say, could be read a number of ways, you know, it's
right.
okay if your way is the way that it gets presented in the magazine, you know. Very often I will accept a piece and I'll go in my own mind, you know, it's probably going to look like this.
Yeah.
And it never does.
Never does.
Never
does.
Never
does.
Always surprised. Always surprised. Or sometimes I can't even imagine what they're going to do, and then they astound me. Like, I remember when we did Catherine Vaz's novel excerpt,
mm-hmm.
which is about eating the music of birds,
right.
and this extraordinary, beautiful, elegant page after page working out of this musical stave that looks almost like wind and the birds flying above it with abandon. And
mm-hmm.
I just thought, I would never have thought about that in 1,000 years, and yet it was just one of my favorite things that they'd ever done. And so it's pointless for us to think about it in terms of art,
right.
and how it will come out as art, because we ourselves are always surprised. We're as surprised as any reader will picking up the
mm-hmm.
magazine, going, "My God, look what they did with this particular story or essay."
Yeah, and we also talked about the.
I know where you're coming to.
You know where I'm coming to.
Yes,
yeah.
This is a warning. Warning to all you budding ninth letter contributors out there is that whenever we get a story that comes with art, this is what you were thinking,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, exactly.
We get stories that come with art because people think, oh, ninth letter, it's a literary, but it's also an arts journal, and I'm going to, you know, gussy this up, or I've already gussied it up, or this is the way I work, and so I'm going to do them a favor. I'm going to give them the art right off the bat, you know? And that misses the point of the magazine in the sense that the art comes out of a collaborative process between the writers and editors and the artists in art and design program. that they don't have anything to work with if we give them something that's ready-made and finished.
Uh-huh.
It's done. So it's best if you want to send something to us to just send your best writing, you know, and let the artists surprise you with their expertise.
Thanks very much to Philip Graham, John Crone, Jimmy Liu, and the Ninth Letter Design students from fall 2010 for participating in this podcast. For more information about Ninth Letter, visit www.ninthletter.com.